quite frankly, I'm kind of nervous about it. This is indeed a mighty book. I'd like for you to follow along with us in Matthew chapter 19. Be there for just a moment. In chapter 19 of Matthew, and verse 16, there's one that came to Jesus and said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Wow, what a question. Good master. Now he's talking to Jesus, Son of God. Matthew 19 and verse 16. "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And so we would expect Jesus to come up with some sort of a dynamic explanation of what he should do. And they're thinking about the law and keeping of the law and the commandments and the such. Jesus went right to the root of the problem. And he said, "Why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." This is Jesus, Son of God, who said, "Why are you, your question is way off base. Why do you call me, man, good? There's none good but God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, we find from Jesus, he wasn't talking about the Ten Commandments. But here's the thing. I want to ask you a question. Actually, a question and a statement. One, do you believe there's a God? Think about this. We say, "Oh, yeah, there's a God," when we don't really believe that. If there's a God, if there is a self-sufficient God, if there is a God who is in control of all things. That's what we're talking about, God. Who knows all things, can do all things, who is wise, is forever. Do you, individually, believe there is a God? If you believe there's a God, I want to ask you a question about him. Do you think God is good? Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" There's only one that's good, and that's God. So, this God that Jesus was talking about, is that the God you believe in? And if so, do you believe that God is good? Do you really believe that? That means if you believe that he is good, you believe that everything he does is good. Yes. We may not see it like he sees it, but we often say, "Hey, if God is so good, how come he allows or whatever?" Is God good? Yes. Is God good? Then we need to quit our whining and our whimpering and give him thanks for being good. And we say, "Oh, God is good. He's good all the time. Gripe, gripe, gripe." Or we'll complain in our minds, you know. "Well, why would God do this? Why would God allow this to happen in my life," or whatever? So Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one that's good." The man asked, "What good thing can I do?" He said, "You're so far off base. You can't even answer that question. Because, first of all, sir, you can't do anything good because you have no good in you." Isaiah says, "Under the anointing of God, there's none good. No, not one." Turn with me to to 1 John, back towards Revelation. 1 John, chapter 3. Verse 19, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." If our heart condemn us, wow, if our heart condemn us. We might put it this way. If our heart condemn us, we don't understand who God is. If our heart condemn us, we're talking about children of God. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. We shall assure our hearts before Him. We know we're of the truth if we are of God. Now he tells us in the preceding verse, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us love in truth. So, we know we're of the truth when our hearts assure us that all is well with God. Now there is one on the other side who's called the devil, and he will bring condemnation to you. No wonder that Paul says that there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. That's a powerful statement, my friend. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Have you had the devil condemn you lately for something? Or someone else? Or you condemn yourself? Okay, so he says here in 1 John, we know we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We know that we know we're right before God. We know that. You know, I've shared with you in the past one time when I was praying for this person, and they had devils, obviously had devils, and this person, I was praying on them, and I'm praying for them and rebuking devils. And I looked at that person about that close to them and had my eyes open. They had their eyes open and they looked right in my eyes. And I knew at that time, I could see that spirit just searching my soul and my spirit. And I knew that every sin I'd ever committed, that person was getting ready to spit it out. That person was going to tell me and people around me my sins. So, how would you like for somebody to tell you all of your sins? They'd probably tell you some you'd forgotten about. Because we're good at forgetting things we want to forget. And that person looked at me and looked at me, and I could feel it in my inside me, in my spiritual person. I could feel it that person was getting ready to say every sin that I had committed. And then that person done like this, turned their head away from me. I knew that I knew that He forgives us of our sins. I had been checked out, not just by the Holy Ghost, but by a very powerful spirit being that was certainly searching my heart, my soul, my spirit a lot more than God was, because God didn't have to search.
That's right.
Okay, so are we really convinced who we are in Jesus? And are we really convinced there's a God? And are we really convinced that God is good? Now, there is a God, friend, and God is good. And we lightly say all the time, God is good all the time. God is good. His nature is good. God is good. And I want to tell you another fact. Another fact is this. You are a self. You are. You are. You're an existence. You are an individual. You are a self. I am a self. When I want to do what I want to do, it is called selfishness.
Amen.
Selfishness. I am a selfish person. Because I often want to do what I want to do. That's called selfishness. There is a God and He is good. Further, he says in verse 20, I just want you to see this. If our heart condemn us, I've heard so many people say, I've said it myself, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I can't be used. I can't. God can't do this. God's not going to talk to me. God's not going to do this or that as God fulfills His word in our lives. And so our hearts condemn us. And we're talking about our heart. Now, let's remember, friend, you can't trust your heart. Your heart will say, you know, you really tried hard today. Don't believe what your heart says. Okay, because your heart is deceitful and it's wicked. God's word says. But if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart and He knows all things. You know something He knows? He's forgiven you of your sins. Hello? So now then, you're free to do what God wants you to do. Hang in here, folks. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. So if there's one thing that will rob you of your confidence in you walking with God, it's that you feel that you're not worthy, in spite of the fact that you have asked Him to forgive you. Well, I know He's forgiven me, but. No, but cancels out everything before it. So, there is a self. You can make your choices. God chose to give you the power of choice. Choice. You are the only creation given the power of choice that is in existence today. You have the power to choose. So God is good. God is good, folks. God is good. Whatever He asks you to do, it's good for you because He loves you. God has need of nothing except that He chose to need something. He chose to need you to love Him. He wants you to love Him. The reason He wants you to love Him is because He loves you. And He wants what is best for you. And it is best for you to love Him. So God has a need now. And that need is that you love Him. That's why He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. Why? Because that's what we need. That's what I need. I need to love Him more. I remind you again, and I have repented concerning this. You know, I've told you many times before when God spoke to me right down here, you know, and I was talking about repenting of my sins, and He said, quit that and just know my love. And I thought, I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about it yesterday, you know, that I would have the audacity to say, I rebuke you, God. I mean, and I did, because God said, quit worrying about your sins and know my love. And I knew that was from the devil. And I told God so. I mean, I didn't call Him God. I just said, I rebuke you. And a little bit later, same thing. Quit worrying about your sins and know my love. I rebuke you, devil. And it's God talking to me. And I know most of you have heard this, not 1,000 times, but you've heard it. And I think it was that next night, maybe that night, I was having a prayer meeting, and I was kneeling back there at a seat, and the Lord said, go to so-and-so and tell them to give you the word that I gave them for you. And that scared me half to death. But I went to him, and I said, God said that He gave you a word today for me. And He told me, come to you and get it. And they were there kneeling and praying, and they had their Bible there, and they opened their Bible up, pulled a little stick note piece of paper there and handed it to me, said, here it is. They already had it written out. To know Jesus' love is to know Him. Unless you know the love of God, you don't really know Him. The more you know of the love of God, the better you know Him. And I thought today, early day, I thought, God, how many years ago you told me this, and I'm no further along than what I am. I know I'll probably live to be 190 just before I get this. Or he may just give up on me. I don't know. But to know his love. If our heart condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Because we know his love. Now follow with me if you would. In chapter 4 of 1 John. Lord help us please. In verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. That is unnatural. That's not natural. We cannot identify that. But he that loved us, but herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Why in the world would God love us? Well, because we're so nice. And we're so nice looking. And we're so helpful to God. First of all, God doesn't need any help. And He chose to love us. And he does. Herein is love, verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation, a covering, if you would, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. He's not saying because we love one another, we're perfect in love. But God lives in us and he is perfecting us. I know, has God been, how's that song? He's been working on me. Has God been working on you? He's been working on me. He's been working on you. And he's trying to perfect his love in you. Now, I want to tell you a story. Okay, everyone listen or you'll miss it. It is a story about, it's about a five-puppy litter. Five puppies were born. And actually, this story is called Fido and Four Puppies. These puppies were born on the wrong side of the tracks, if you would. And they were poor. And they got put in a kennel. And they're going to be killed, of course. And they've got all kind of things wrong with them. So, if we might just jump down the line a little bit further. There was someone that came to the kennel one day, and he wanted a puppy. He needed a puppy. He thought he needed a puppy. And he did. He needed a puppy. He wanted a puppy to love. And he selected that one. And so he took that puppy home. Well, to tell you, jumping ahead of the story, these other four puppies are going to be euthanized, but they escaped. And the four puppies escaped. Now, this puppy went home with the one puppy, Fido, went home with the person that chose to adopt him. And so he goes home, and he's... Of course, he has to be trained, kind of like kids, you know. And children kind of, if you don't train them, they kind of act like people. It's amazing how adult a child can act. Did you hear what I said? It's amazing how adult a child can act. They act like adults. They want their way. They want what they want when they want it. They want to do it their way. Okay? They act like adults. So, one day, this Fido was let outside for a little bit. And lo and behold, would you believe, across the street was his four siblings. And these four siblings, wow, they are barking and carrying on, and they're inviting Fido to come over. And Fido says, I can't. I can't leave the yard. And so they cross the street to him. And Fido says to them, what happened to you? What's going on with you? Well, he looks at one of his siblings, and most of his fur is gone. What happened? Well, they call it the mange. And I got this, and I've got these big sores on me and the such. But why wouldn't you come across the street and see us? Oh, I can't do that. My master won't let me cross the street. What? Don't you have freedom? Nope, I do not have freedoms. Oh, they felt sorry for Fido, because he couldn't do what he wanted to. And he looked at another one of his siblings, and he's got a broken leg and dragging the other one behind him. And what happened to you? I was crossing the street and a car hit me. Oh, man, I'm so sorry for you. And another one looked like he'd been ran through a meat grinder. What happened to you? He said, the coyotes got a hold of me. Oh, I thought I was going to die. They were tearing me apart. And one eye was hanging out. I mean, he's in bad, bad shape. And he comes to the next of his siblings, and he said, he says, you're so skinny, I can see your bones. What happened to you? He said, I haven't anything to eat for a long time. And he says, what I get to eat is just whatever I can find. And so we find that, you know, one of his siblings had been running with the wrong crowd, got that mange. The others, you know, were not protected. And so they said, what about you, Fido? Oh, Fido says, well, I don't have much freedom. My master took away my freedoms. In fact, my master wants me to be like him. He wants to tell me what to do. He won't give me freedoms. My master will not let me go where I want to go. And he won't let me do what I want to do. He won't let me eat what I want to eat. And he won't let me run. He won't let me be a dog. He wants me to be more like him. When I want, sometimes I just want to be a dog. I want to chase cars. I want to chase rabbits. I want to run and be free and do my thing. I want to eat whatever I want to eat. I want to go wherever I want to go. I want to do whatever I want to do. Well, why don't you leave him and come and go with us? No. I like my food. I like my protection. I like my shelter. I like if I get sick, he takes me to the doctor. In fact, my master takes really, really, really good care of me. And if anything goes wrong, my master's going to take care of me. So this poor, poor Fido didn't have freedoms. So it's kind of like us and God. See, God loves us. God loves us. God is good. You see, what the master was trying to do to Fido was not just... He's actually trying to get him out of his nature. He doesn't want Fido to chase the rabbit. Now, how many of you, if you're not ashamed to raise your hand, how many of you have ever been coon hunting? Okay. And you know one thing you don't want your coon dog doing when you're coon hunting is to, he kicks up a rabbit and takes off after that rabbit. Now, that's his nature. Or a squirrel or whatever, you're going to chase after something until you teach him you don't chase anything except a coon. Okay, and some of you have dogs as pets, and you teach them to go contrary to their nature. And you can do that with horses. You can do it with pigs. You can, in fact, you know, you see now there people have chickens as pets. I like chicken. So I am not against chickens. I love chicken. Well done. Okay. I love chicken. Okay, but we train animals to do contrary to their nature. And we say, that is good. God tries to train us to be contrary to our nature, and we whine about it. But we're serving a God that is good. So when He tries to change us, He's doing it for our good because He loves us. God loves us. God loves us. So He gives us this choice today, many times a day. You can choose self, which is selfish, or you can choose God, the God that will do what is best for you. He will never ask you to do something that is not best for you. If you have a pet, no matter what it is, you want what is good for that pet. Now, you're not trying to make your pet happy because your pet doesn't even know what happiness is. They don't know what happiness is. Oh, yeah, Fido wags his tail. Now, he's looking for a treat, which is what you've been giving him when you do what he wants you to do. Okay? Yeah, he's trying to train you to give him a treat when he wags his tail. So God loves us. And He wants what is best for us. He wants what is good for us. So, I want you to know in chapter 4 of 1 John here, he says, let's go back to verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, a covering. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us. This is part of the great mystery, Paul says, that we dwell in Him, and He in us. Because He hath given us His Spirit. You see, God needs nothing. Except He chose to need us. God needs you. He has a need. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to trust Him. Fido does not know. He doesn't understand love. He doesn't understand anything. Fido has a nature much like a dog. Because he is a dog. God, however, became one of us. He took upon Himself our nature. That's why Jesus wept, as it were, great drops of blood. Is because, as He prayed, is because He was going to become sin for us. God, friend, is good, and He wants us to be good. He says in verse 14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess, look at this. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Wow, what is perfect love? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth has not been perfected enough in love. Because when we understand, folks, that God is good, why, what is there to fear? God is good. No, I mean, good. Everything He does in your life is good. When He asks you to change something in your life, it's because He's wanting you to have more of His nature and less of yours.
Amen.
Okay. He's trying to perfect us more and more like Him. And not making everyone alike. God is fashioning you in a particular way. He's trying to fashion you to be what He pleases you to be. As we talked about in Philippians, it's His pleasure to do His will in your life. He wants to do. So, sometimes we act like folks that, like the other dogs in the story of Fido, you know, they come out here and be free like us. That's not freedom. It's going to get you killed. Okay. So all the other dogs, they're in bad shape. They're, oh, I'm glad we have our freedom. Freedom to what? Freedom to be miserable. See, there is a God, folks, and He is absolute. God is absolute. He is right all the time. He is always right. He always does what is best for you. Always. And He's trying to train us so that we are not living our old nature. He's trying to train us to where we're not living our old nature. He wants us, friend, to be like Him. He wants to do things in your life and in my life that we've never dreamed. Because God is good. God loves you particularly. He wants to move in your life. I'm going to ask our worship team to come down, if you would, please. Revelation says that God has created all things. And He says that He created all things for His pleasure. Hello? God has created all things for His pleasure. He created you for His pleasure. And it pleases Him to work out His will in my life and in your life. And it would behoove us to let Him do so. And so He desires us. He's not desiring us to be happy. He's wanting us to please Him. Amen. It's all about pleasing Him. We are created by Him, and we are created to please Him. Amen. He created all things for His pleasure. And He so loves us that He wants us to be pleased. He wants us to be pleasing to Him. Because He wants to do good things in your life. God desires to do good things in your life. He has a desire to do good things in your life. Now I want to say again to everyone that hears this. What God wants us to do, He wants us to repent of our sins. The devil doesn't want you to be condemned. He don't want you to even think that you're such a bad person. When without Him, we have no goodness. There is no goodness. We have no goodness. Jesus said we have no goodness. There is none good, Jesus said. And He had that nature of us, you know, except He did not sin. So I ask you today, do you believe there's a God? And do you believe that He is good all the time, you have a choice. You have to make it. You have to make this choice several times a day, okay? You're going to please Him, or you're going to be selfish.
Amen.
Selfish. You know, even this morning, stand together with me. Even this morning, whether you're here or whether you're at home or wherever, and God speaks to your heart, or you, by your mentality, realize, I need to seek God. And you choose not to. Oh, so you're going to not do what your master wants you to do? We're going to make a choice. Many times today, are we going to do what our God wants us to do? Or are we going to follow the God of self? If we're going to do what self wants to do, we may as well have a little idol out here. Or maybe a picture of us or something. It's serious stuff, folks. It's really serious. To know His love is to know Him. To know His love. He wants you and He wants me to know His love, and we have not scratched the surface yet. But He's wanting us to know His love. And He's trying to teach you, my friend. He's trying to teach you, and He's trying to do good things in your life. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to the hearts of everyone that hears this, Lord, and add to it by Your Spirit, Lord. Lord God, that we might grow in You and in Your love, Lord God. Have such a confidence in You that even at the day of judgment, we know in whom we have believed. And we're persuaded that You're able to keep that which we commit unto You against that day. And so, Lord, let Your people this morning, Lord, respond to Your calling, Lord, as You would have them to, whether it's down at the altar or whether it's at their seat. Or, Lord, whether it's in their mind and their heart that they speak to You, Lord. But let everyone respond to You, because we acknowledge that You are absolute, You're total. Nothing is ours. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We don't have the next breath. We don't have the next minute. We don't have the next day, Lord God. Lord, help us to acknowledge who You are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship team, if you would, please. You respond as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, because He's your God. He's your God. And what He wants you to do is to obey. And to not obey, He says, is like witchcraft. It's choosing another God. It's not a good path to go down, my friend. Don't start down that way. Worship Him.